We are still journeying in the season of Easter. In fact, we are more than halfway through the Easter season that started on the eve of Christmas, Easter Eve, and continue on until the day of the Pentecost. We call this the Great 50 Days. And during this Easter season, I started a sermon series called Practicing Resurrection, based from the lectionary. It is our prayerful goal in this whole season of Easter to immerse ourselves from the sacred text, most especially as we understand more what it means to experience Christ's resurrection, that is not just a one-time event, but rather it's a practice, it's a way of life. You know, as I've said before, we can shout Christ is risen all day long, but unless we're willing to live and breathe resurrection and concretize this in our everyday life, it means nothing. So in the last couple of weeks, we've been diving in God's Word as we try our best to glean it from the sacred text. How is this practicing resurrection looks like? And we come now to this very familiar text from the John's Gospel that picks up from where the last week's lectionary left off. Last week, the lectionary were verses 1 to 8. It talks all about the vine and the branches. I'm sure you're familiar with those texts. And today we're going to talk all about love. But as I've said before, the vine and the love are all kind of connected to each other, because the vine can only be understood in the light of its definition as an abiding in love. So it is our hope and our prayer that we can connect that together as we immerse ourselves into His Word this morning. Let us pray. O God, help me be decreased and decreased so that You may be increased and increased. And may the words of my mouth, the meditation in our hearts, be truly acceptable in Your Word. You who is a rock and a redeemer. Amen. Did you know that the word love is probably the most used and abused word in English language? Do you all agree on that, church? We hear the word love every day. Not only that we hear that, we actually say that. We reference love for our spouses, to our children, our friends, our passion, our interest in sports, all these kind of terminologies. We actually watch a lot of things about love on social media, on Hallmark movies. How many of you love Hallmark things? You know, my wife and I always passionate about Hallmark movies. And we tend to define love based from our own understanding of love, which is natural because we are humans, right? And when we begin to understand love based from what we understood, it begins to be a feeling, driven by emotion, driven by some kind of a desire. I wonder if that is really a love defined by what the Bible says. I wonder whether that is the love that actually God wants us to embody. When we read the word love in this passage or in the scripture, I wonder whether that love that we know begins to be a watered down or more like a diluted kind of love. A love that is very much defined by world rather than by kingdom perspective. When we hear words from what Jesus says in chapter 13 of the Gospel of John, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you," I wonder whether our understanding of love begins to be shift and change. See, love does not originate from us. Do you know that, church? It's not something that we produce. The love that we have right now in and among us is a love that comes from God. God is the inventor of love. It comes from the Father's love to His Son and His Son's love for us. This is not Pastor Edgar saying this. It comes from the Scripture itself, from the text that we have just read. Listen again to verses 9 to 10. As the Father has loved me, that means as the Father loves the Son, so is the Son loved you and me. In other words, this love that we have does not originate from us. It came from God. So, why are we trying to define love based from what we know, when in fact this love originates from God? And that's where the challenge is for us, because we are living in the world and not of this world. Amen? It reminds me when my two girls were still babies. I love when they were still babies. Sometimes you wish they are still babies now. I tried to keep on making so many funny faces, smile, and gestures in front of them to encourage them to do the same. I use this imagery to see that Jesus used of himself as the model of that love. Because that's how the Gospel of John's writer is trying to tell to us today. Jesus here is like a parent encouraging his child, you can be like me. You can do this. You can do this because I have done it. I am here to show you how to do it. If we just recognize that truth, that this love is something that comes as a gift from God, then it will not be hard for us to love one another. Don't we, church? It will not be difficult for us to love those that are not even deserving of the love. It will not be hard for us to love those difficult people. If we just see the truth that this love comes from an abiding relationship between God the Father and God the Son, and that same love is offered to us unconditionally, despite of all the things that we have done, then perhaps we may have a different understanding of love, and perhaps this world might be a better place to live. Amen? So love begins with God's love through His Son. It is not a love that begins with us. It is something that's given to us from above. And that leads me to the second point. Because this love originates from God, because it did not come from us, then this love can be dangerous. It can be life-risking. See, the very condition by the worldly standard or the worldly understanding of love, a love that is driven by emotion and desire, this kind of love that is very selfish and irrational, I'm sure some of us have experienced that. This is far, far different from the biblical concept of love. A love, according to the Bible, that is not driven by personal desire. A love that is not driven by emotion or self-serving gratification. Rather, a love that is self-giving. It actually came from a Greek word, agape. Say that with me, church. Agape. It is a love that is genuinely releasing itself so that others may be empowered. The Apostle Paul describes this kind of love as sacrificial and selfless. When he said this word from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this is the love verse. Say this with me, church. Love bears all things. Love bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. In other words, this kind of love, this kind of Christian love is a love that is both dangerous and risk-taking. Why? Because it demands for you and for me to lay down our lives for one's friend. Okay, let's stop there for a while. Did the pastor really say that? That I have to give up my life? And he's not talking about the child or my child or spouse, but to give up my life for another fellow of Christ. Because that's how a friend is defined here in the gospel. A friend is the one who is a fellow believers of Christ. So what the Bible is trying to tell us, Jesus is saying to you and to me, you have, in order for you to embody that kind of Christian love, you have to lay down your life for your friend. Is that what you're expecting when you came here this morning? Certainly this meaning is nowhere in the minds of most of us when we talk about love. Especially nowadays, when we water down love in so many ways. So, what does that mean? What does it mean in verse 13 when Jesus said, no one has greater love than this to lay down one's life for one's friend? What is Jesus trying here to tell us? Can we actually lay down our lives for our friends? Well, let me qualify that by first saying to you that what Christ is trying to tell us here, he's actually telling us of how he did it. Are you with me, church? How he gave himself, his body, his life for you and for me. Think that for a second. And we can always argue and say, well, I'm not God, I'm not Jesus. And perhaps we can say, what does that really that means? And how can we lay down our lives for our friends? We need first to know that Jesus himself modeled that. He exhibited the most remarkable display of love when he died for our sins, showing us what true and selfless love looks like. But how will that look like today? How can that laying of the life, giving up oneself for the others, may look like today? The gospel is giving us a little hint of that on verse 12. The answer perhaps comes in this text itself, on verse 12, where Jesus commanded us to love one another. It begins with loving one another as he loved us. The example he set for us in his life gives us the perfect outline for how we can lay down our lives for others every day. And it may not be a physical death. Perhaps looking at the meaning of the phrase laying down of life from another perspective might be helpful. It requires that we look to the others first, putting the needs of others before ours. Maybe a good start of laying down our lives for others. Perhaps shifting our priorities from self-wanting and living ourselves like we are at the center of the world and make it more our lives more sacrificial and selfless. How can we do that? Maybe perhaps we begin to lay down our life to remove all the biases and prejudices to someone that don't look like us, think like us, and feel like us, and even smell like us. And maybe to welcome others into the body without any exemptions. What if laying down one's life is to courageously speak out the biblical truth in love, even into the most difficult issues of our society? Issue like racism, marriage, sanctity of life, among others. See, church, we lay down our lives for others in many ways. It can come in small and big things. When we do turn our eyes and hearts toward others, when we begin to discover the countless ways to lay down our lives, we begin to embody what Christ's love looks like to our neighbors. Amen? Small acts of kindness, words of affirmation, and listening ears. And then greater acts, perhaps, maybe forgiving someone. Loving when we do not feel like being loved. Giving mercy when it appears undeserved. And going out our way to be there to sacrifice our time, our presence, our gifts, and our witness for others. The bottom line is, church, that giving of ourselves until it hurts, small or large, becomes the embodiment of this love that comes from God through His Son, Jesus. Amen? So as we prepare ourselves, church, in this great Thanksgiving, how do you understand love now? What shifted you now in terms of your understanding of a love that is so dangerous? A love that is life risking? A love that comes from God through His Son? How will that look like as you engage out into the world to be the presence of Christ to the others? It is my prayer that you and I will begin to dismantle the worldly understanding of love and begin to embrace a kind of love that is truly transformational. We cannot do this apart from the Holy Spirit. Amen? So as God invites us in this table, may we be open to the leading of His Holy Spirit. And may the Lord melt our hearts so that we can lay down our lives for one's friends. Let us pray. In a nation, in a world that is fractured and polarized and divided than ever before, it's difficult and even impossible to love one another. As we gather this morning in the Lord's table, Christ invites us to break down the walls that separate us. Christ invites us to embrace yet and again a dangerous and life-risking love, a love that begins with God's love, a love that comes from Christ Jesus offered to us, a love that is so costly to the point that Christ has to die so that we may have new life. May we embrace that kind of love, not just today, but every day of our lives. In the name of the risen Savior, we offer these prayers, and all the people of God said, Amen.